Amen. I appreciate the opportunity to be in the Lord's house. Like that song says, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. Glad he loved me first. And I'm so thankful for that tonight. If you've got your Bibles, turn with us tonight to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Book of Ephesians tonight, chapter 5. I want to start reading in verse 25. I'm going to let you stay seated. I'm going to read a couple verses here, and then if you want to go ahead and get your places. In the book of Exodus tonight, chapter 30, and verse 17. That's where we'll stay at, but I want to read this couple verses of scripture in the book of Ephesians to help us understand a little bit what I feel like the Lord's laid on my heart to share with you. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and verse 25. The Bible said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. And I want to back up just a portion there where it said, and gave himself for it. Why? In verse 26, he said, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word. We're clean through the word of God daily. Now let's go over the book of Exodus tonight, chapter 30 and verse 17. I want to read about five verses of scripture there tonight. And with the Lord's help, just try to touch a little bit tonight on the laver that God talked to Moses about making. In the book of Exodus, chapter 30, in verse 17, the Bible says this, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thou shalt also make a laver, which is a tub of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal, and thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. Now, we're talking about the priest here tonight. The Lord had many things that the priest did as an officer, a job. And one of the main jobs of a priest was to take the offering in for the people, sometimes for individuals, sometimes offerings for families. And sometimes it was as a nation whole, the children of Israel, that's making an offering for them. But they couldn't go in before the Lord unless they was clean. And that's still the way it is today. We've got to be clean when we come to the Lord. There's a big misunderstanding sometimes that every time we come to the Lord, we're coming to get clean. But I tell you, the Lord likes it sometimes when we come to the Lord and we're already clean. Amen. The Bible said this. He said, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thou shalt make a laver of brass and his foot also, which lets us know, if you begin to study this, it was a solid brass bowl that held water in it, and the foot also was made of brass, which lets us know this thing was of solid brass. It was something to be looked at. It was something to be cherished. This thing was special, and I'd like to say tonight, everything in the temple and everything in the tabernacle that God set up was a picture of things to come, and that's why they're so special. He didn't just want things made of hay and stubble, because that's a picture of Christ to come. And praise the Lord. There's more to Christ than just things that can be consumed tonight. But he said,
last forever. And this was also a statute that would last forever. Amen. He said, and put this this laver between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. So that lets me know that where the people was going to be going, the tabernacle of the congregation, it was the place that they gathered in. If I could get it a little plainer today, today our churches are a little different than the tabernacle where it was set up. I mean, it'll be no different this Sunday or Wednesday or Sunday night. Whenever we gather, our people comes and sets together this sanctuary. This is the place that we congregate together. And we come together to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. And we gather in this place to let the Lord know we love Him. So we gather here. We congregate together. If you'd have you look at us, when you have a gathering of people together, where there's a meeting place. Amen. I tell you, one day we'll have a meeting place in heaven. I'm glad we got some places down here where we can meet together to worship the Lord. Amen. So here's where we gather together. And he said this, but he wanted that the laver to be between the congregation and the altar. If we had a laver here at Welcome Grove Baptist Church, it would have to be somewhere right up here in the front between the congregation and the altar. And what the laver was used for is when the priest was going to come to the Lord. And several times they would come to an altar for an offering. And sometimes they'd go into the holies of holies to the Lord. And sometimes they'd come before the Lord with a blood sacrifice and a sprinkle on the altar. But whatever the offering was, whatever the feast was, and whatever the time was, if they're going to approach the altar, they're to go to the laver and wash their hands and wash their feet. Amen. Now, I begin to think about this. Their hands was what they served with. Their service you could have. I believe they touched things on a regular basis. Amen. I believe they served people. Maybe when people come in, some of them, I know this was more for a servant you'd have where they washed people's feet. But I know that Jesus didn't think he was too good to wash somebody's feet. I still don't have a problem with foot washing. I just think sometimes when people make a special service out of it, that what really what God intended is to be done when it's needed, not be lifted up, just like an offering. He said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. If we stood up and said, look what I'm giving, or look, I'm giving something to the church, he don't like that. He don't like anything that's done out front where it's being done because people can see. If we're going to wash people's feet in church, we shouldn't have a problem washing people's feet at home. I know a lot of people been washing feet their whole life, but I don't know if they've ever washed anybody's feet that was sick at the house or in the hospital. I hadn't heard much of it going on. They wash feet when they set a time aside to do it. But I'm going to tell you something, a true giver, they don't just give at church, they give to their neighbors. They give to their families. They give when nobody's looking. But God, you see, a true giver don't give to be saved. And he don't give to get by. A lot of people say, well, go ahead and give it. The Lord promised if you give, he'll bless you. If you're giving to get a blessing, you'll never get it. We got to get where we'd be willing to give if we didn't get a blessing. And if we do that, we'll get the right attitude and God will bless us. I hope you can tell the crowd ain't bothering me none. I'm having a good time tonight. We've got to get clean when we come before the Lord. And it starts with the preacher. Amen. I want you to know that I don't feel like I can just climb up in the podium just whenever I want to, just in any circumstance, on any day. Brother Darrell, if I ain't prayed and I ain't studied, and we don't stay clean in God's word, amen, we don't need to be preaching, we don't need to be singing, us to be clean. Amen. He don't have a problem cleaning us up. But I think he wants us to keep ourselves clean a lot too. This is not mentioned a lot, but the Bible said this. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Didn't say come to the Lord and let him keep you. Amen. Unspotted. The word said keep yourself unspotted from the world. But Brother Matt over there, the reason I wanted to read Ephesians tonight, he said that he gave himself for us that he could sanctify the church, to give the church back to himself. Amen. He died for the church so he could clean the church through the washing of the word, so he could present the church back to himself. Somebody, people a lot of times say, well, he wants to present the church to his Father. He is the Father in the flesh. That's why it's okay for him to say, me and my Father are one. If you say me, say him. There's no difference in the Father and the Son. They're together. So he is going to present her to himself. But he wants her to be clean. I looked this up, some of these definitions, real quick over in the book of Ephesians, and then I'll be done. He said this, he said, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Didn't Jesus say, I am the water? Didn't John say he was the word? Water clean you up. We already know that naturally, but spiritually, the Word of God will keep us clean. It'll clean us from our sins. It'll clean us from our dirty thoughts. It'll clean us from our dirty deeds. It'll clean us up. Listen, it ain't always by sin. It'll clean us up when we fall. Every time I fail, I've gotten a little dusty, or skip my knee up, or getting a bleeding. I have to go in there and get water. Scrape. What happens when your clothes get dirty? We've got to stick them in a washing machine with water, amen, and some other detergent. A Tide said it takes it away. A Dawn can keep grease away. And all these things. But the blood of Jesus Christ, it washes sin away, amen. I've been washed through the blood of the Lamb, amen. Ain't you glad you've been washed? I'm not as dirty as I was, but I still get dirty. I still get dirty. I don't know if people want to admit that or not, but I'm going to tell you, I feel like I'm a pretty clean fella. Amen, I do. I took a shower last night, get cleaned up, went to work today, brother Mallard, worked one day, I got dirty. Now, Amanda, she was at the house. In our house, she still got dirty. You ain't got to go outside to get dirt. If you're around things in this world and you're touching things and we're doing things, she has probably cleaned the children up today. And they got dirty, brother E.J. All these things are pictures, if you'd have, that we get dirty from day to day. Well, spiritually we do too. We get dirty. And I think a lot of times we forget that in our day-to-day dealings, we get dirty. You know, one of the nastiest things they say that goes around our world is money. They say that's the nastiest thing going today, that when you touch it, you're touching one of the nastiest things there is. Yet everybody touches it at least one time a day. And you might say, well, I don't carry money no more. I carry my card. I think that thing's probably dirtier money because we use it more. It's dirt. When's the last time you cleaned your debit card or your credit card? It ain't clean. It's dirty. Brother Madison, our wallet. I go to work, my wallet gets dusty. I clean my wallet. I don't know I've ever just wiped my card off. But we grab it. We use it. And money. Ain't that right? You know what they said? Well, the dirtiest thing in the house was, they took a poll on this and people said, the toilet, the bathroom, the basement, underneath the washing machine. We know how dirty things get. Behind the refrigerator. You know what they said the dirtiest thing was? A remote control is the dirtiest thing in people's households today because it's touched more than anything. be surprised if everybody in here didn't put their hand on remote control today at least one time. And if it wasn't a television remote, it was the fan remote. If it ain't a fan remote, it's the radio remote. If it ain't radio remote, it's the lawnmower remote. I mean, everything run by remote control now. But we got remote everything. We don't even get out and do anything anymore. We push a button and something begins to work. Well, our hands are touching these things. We'll go wash our hands in there, and we ain't even been 2 minutes out of the bathroom. We'll go touch a remote that everybody else in the house has touched. What I'm sharing tonight is this: spiritually, we could all come to the altar tonight. We could pray and get cleaned up. And before we even get to the house, every one of us is going to touch a steering wheel that's dirty, doorknobs that's dirty, maybe wipe our children's nose, brush something off of their pants. My wife might even say, honey, you had something on your pants, lady. You didn't know, so brush it off, and it's dirty. Yeah. And if we're, we'll be dirty before we get home. I'm not talking about nasty. I'm just talking about a little dirty. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of times we don't even make it home from church and we're a little bit spiritually dirty. That's right. You ready? I'm going to help you a little bit. And this ain't because I'm preaching. I don't matter who's preaching. If you leave and say, hey, wasn't really that many people. Now, why do you have to preach so long? Well, why couldn't you enjoy it? I enjoy it. I think everybody's enjoying their smile. I mean, I didn't want you to drive over here and give you nothing. I stayed. I prayed. I come in here, I'm going to feed you. We'll have a hunger. I'd preach the same thing. If nobody's been here but my family, I'd preach the same thing. We get dirty too. We all get dirty. Yes, we can come to the altar when we're dirty. But how much better would it be sometime if we got cleaned up before we come to the house of the Lord? I've heard that for years where people say, boy, I come in this morning to hear something good and just get back in the will of the Lord. And I heard a pastor years ago say, be good if we got in the will of the Lord before we come to church. And that it would. We'd see more happen. We'd see God move. You know, a lot of people forget this, that the altar call is at the end of the service. If everybody got clean, we can shout and rejoice, but we're not going to have as good a meeting while everybody's dirty as we could if everybody come in clean. And I said this a lot, and I'm going to end on this. I'm not against foot washing. I don't want anybody to think, boy, Brother Jeff is really hard about that. He's against foot washing. I participated in foot washing, and I will again if I get invited to preach in there, or I'm not pastoring here and it works out where I go into a church even as a visitor. And they're having foot washing service. I'm not going to be disrespectful and set out of it. But I will tell you this. If we have foot washing here, somebody said, I really feel like we need to have foot washing. The Lord laid it on my heart. I had it. I'd say, well, so-and-so was having it. It was laid on their heart. I'm going to buy some brand new socks. Yeah. And I'm going to wash my feet really good. Yeah. We're all going to do that. Amen. We're going to want them to be clean before we get here. I've never participated in a foot washing where my feet wasn't squeaky clean unless I got there and didn't know we was having foot washing. That's what I'm getting at. And it's easy. Listen to me. It's easy to wash somebody's feet that's already clean. You hear me? Now this is a picture. It's easy to come in church and live for the Lord and testify when we're around everybody else that loves the Lord. But go to the hospital and wash somebody's foot. They haven't been washed in a month and a half because they're bedridden. Or the nursing home where they can't get down there and wash their own feet. And the nurse is too busy to wash everybody's feet. And you see that they're your aunt or your uncle or your next door neighbor you went by to check on. And I'm going to tell you, I know a few people that's done that. I believe Brother Tony Hall was telling me when his daddy was in the hospital, Brother Junior. Well, it may have been Brother Junior Merritt. It was either Brother Junior Merritt. I can't remember. Brother Tony told me or Brandon. One of them told me, I've heard a lot of good and bad on Brother Brent. If you want to say bad, don't talk to me about it. I like him. Okay? But I tell you, I don't know anybody I agree with everything they say. I love you, Brother Brandon. I know me and your girl and everyone, we've talked about a few things, haven't we? And he still loves me. I love him. We don't see everything eye to eye. And I don't expect him to change. I have less confidence in him if he changes because I agree with him. So I don't expect Brent to change, but he did not expect me to change. I'm not going to change to help, you know, to please him. But I heard some good things about him, and one of the things I heard that I ain't heard out of a lot of preachers in my lifetime, he went to the hospital to visit somebody. He It was just him and them. So I know he wasn't doing it for no show. And they said, evidently, their feet must have been dirty. He thought they was dirty. He got clean. He got in there and got to washing their feet. And whoever it was that they was kin to, they come in. They was coming up there to visit their daddy or their uncle or whoever it was that came in, and he was washing his feet. Now, that's the kind of foot washing I think we need to be doing in the day we live. Do it when nobody's looking. I tell you, God saw him doing that. It might not have meant nothing to nobody else, but I believe it meant something to Jesus. And I tell you something, Jesus didn't know nobody nothing to get down and wash fishermen's feet. He's the Son of God, Creator of the universe, Savior of the world, supreme sacrifice. But on that day, he said, if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, you'll have to humble yourself as little children. He didn't just say that. He did that. He showed them an example, Brother Andy, and he humbled himself. The Bible says he girded his loins about. He got them to begin to wash their feet. And he got to Peter, and he's going to wash Peter's feet. And Peter said, Lord, you're not washing my feet. You're not going to wash my feet. He said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you ain't got no part with it. Pretty much said, Peter, if you don't let me clean you up every once in a while, meaning you ain't going to be able to have fellowship. You know, Peter said, Lord, don't just wash my feet. Wash me from head to toe. Clean me up. I know I'm dirty, Lord. If you got to wash me, clean me. Amen. I tell you, that's why we need to get. Sometimes we come to the altar, we've been humbled, we don't feel like we deserve the Lord's forgiveness when he's sitting there saying, but I want to forgive you. I died to forgive you. And then all of a sudden, we feel his love. We open up and say, Lord, then just take it all. Don't just take what I did today. Just clean everything up that happened this last week or since the last time I talked to you. You know what the Lord does? He just goes, you ever felt like God just swooped through there and took it all off of you? I'll tell you, when I got saved, it wasn't the only time I felt that. It's been a few times in my life I went and just got brokenhearted. And it wasn't always at church. It's been a few times at the house where I just got down, just got humble, and got to talking to the Lord. And I remember my brother-in-law one time we was talking, and I could tell he was really light, and he just got to, and boy, he had a different talk about him or something. And I said, you seem like you have a good day. He said, I feel like I got saved again last week. And I didn't ask him much about it, but I just really believe something must have happened where he really got down and talked to the Lord, and the Lord just come through there and fixed some things, or he got closer or cleaned some things up in his life. And I tell you, he's one of the finest preachers I know, but I'm telling you, the Apostle Paul had to get cleaned up, and the Bible said he died daily. Amen. I'm done. I ain't going to worry you, Pace. I'm done. We was talking about a story the other night, and I'll share this, and I won't say nothing else. I'm done. Now, I don't even feel like we need an invitation. I want us to go home. And, you know, I told somebody, I said, there's a time and a place for everything. And I believe when we take a shower, we shouldn't be doing it just anywhere. I don't like taking a shower at other people's houses unless I have to. We got a shower down here in church. I've used it a few times when I had to. I don't like taking a shower at church. It's down there. I appreciate the thought. It just feels more natural to be at the house instead of having to lock the bathroom and the door of church and be worried somebody can walk in there and see you take a shot. I mean, you know what I'm getting? I don't know. I never studied on it, but I don't remember had showers in the temple or the tabernacle or any of that. So I don't know if it's really even supposed to be here, to be honest with you. But it's a help. It's been a help to some of my angels in the past. But there's an old fella. We was back there talking about a story, and Daryl got tickled and broke around. I said, what was you talking about? What was you talking about? And I shared it with Brother Mallory. I don't want to share it tonight because there's just a few of us here, and then we'll end on this note. There was a fellow, boy, he loved the Lord, he loved the church. He always came. He was faithful to come. Rain, cold, hot weather, he's coming. And there's a few times the snow wasn't bad. And then this time they had a real, real bad snow up about your knee or your waist. And the preacher's wife said, well, honey, what are you going to do? He said, well, I'm going to go over to the church. And I can't remember the man's name in the story, but we're just going to use Bill. He said, I believe Bill will be there tonight and nobody else ain't there. And she said, well, be careful. He said, I will. He went over there and he said he was in country fella. And he said, but if I go out to the fence and only one cow shows up, I do feed him. You know, even if the other ones don't show up, I feed him. And the preacher nodded and said, I got your point, Bill. I got your point. Sit down, son. And he sat down and preached to him. The preacher got really excited. So y'all can tonight, hopefully this will make you feel good. I didn't go that long, but the preacher preached a 2-hour sermon for Bill. He got done. He said, Bill, you fooled. Did I feed you enough? And he said, preacher, I'm just an old country boy. He said, when that one cow shows up, I don't feed him all day. I just feed him what he needs. I don't feed everybody. Everybody up here tonight, we don't need a long service. I believe most of you here is close. The Lord loves the Lord. But I believe every one of us, before now and Sunday, we're going to get there. Let's get clean. Let's try to get clean. Let's go to the labor before we come to church. Let the Lord help us tonight. I appreciate your attendance. Be careful going on. Cold out there, folks, to warm up. Pray for these that's had death in their home. You know, we say death.